Good morning, church. Welcome once again. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We're here because we want to be, right? Amen. Well, today I'd like to take us into God's Word and look at, I don't know how to word this, a subject or something in God's Word that is actually a part of our inheritance that I think we need to hear more from the pulpit. Now, some of the things I'm going to say today, I'm sure you've heard before, but it's really crucial and key to our enjoying this life, to our experiencing more of God, so to speak. And I don't know about you, but I think there's room in all of our lives to have more of an experience of God. Amen. So I want us to open up our Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Now in Exodus chapter 33, here we see the account of the conversation that took place between Moses and God right after Moses came down from the mountain where he had been for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine? In the mountain, 40 days and 40 nights. And because he was up there so long, we know that the children of Israel who were left down at the foot of the mount, and Aaron, the high priest, was supposed to be kind of watching over them. But because Moses was up there so long, they kind of gave up on him. They said, you know, like, what? We don't know what's become of him. We don't know if he's ever going to come down. And Moses, of course, was their leader. He's the one who led them out of Egypt into the wilderness or into the promised land. So the children of Israel had given up on Moses ever coming down. And so, of course, they took matters into their own hands. Don't we always want to take matters into our own hands? And so what did they do? They decided to make a new God or a new, you know, like this Moses and this God that he's telling us about is gone. We don't know what's become of him, so let's make a new God. And so what did they do? Well, they stripped themselves of all their jewels, their gold, and they melted it in a very hot fire, and they made a golden calf. And then they fell down and they worshipped it and were basically venerating it as their new God. And the Bible says that when Moses came down from the mountain, he saw this going on. Can you imagine? And to top all that, they were naked. So I can imagine what was going on. And they were dancing and partying and, you know, having a good old time dancing around this golden calf. So Moses, you know, when he came down, he found them worshiping this false god. And he was angry, to say the least. In fact, he took the tablets of stone that God had just given him to teach to the people, and he broke them. So we always say, as a joke, that actually it was Moses who broke the law first. He was the first one to break the law. He was very angry, and it says that 3,000 people died that day. And in verse 2 and 3, let's go there, of Exodus 33, God says this to Moses right after this episode. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite into a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not, you can underline that, I will not go up in the midst of you, for you are a stiff-necked people, lest I consume you in the way. Now, not only was Moses angry, God was angry, and so angry that he said, I'm going to send an angel to take you into the promised land. I can't go because this people makes me so angry that I'm scared of God himself was afraid that he was going to kill them all. Now, this is God speaking. Like we think, what kind of a picture do you have of God? God was just furious with these people that they would turn so quickly to another God. And so God reveals this to Moses. that he's not going to go up with them into the promised land. These words made Moses very distraught. These words were evil tidings. And he pleaded with God to go with him and the people. And then he says in verse 15 of Exodus 33, if your presence does not go with me, don't take me up. In other words, I'm not going. For how is it going to be known? Verse 16, he says to God. This is Moses arguing with God. If you don't go with us, I'm not going. That's basically what he said. And then he argues this point in verse 16. For how is it going to be known that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that you go with us? So will we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people on the face of the earth? In other words, how are they going to know we're your people? Is it not that you go with us? Verse 17, and the Lord says unto Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And then Moses says, out of the blue, and this is where we want to go this morning, I beseech thee. Now the word beseech means beg. I beg you, God, show me your glory. And God said, I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I show mercy. Kind of a silly, if you really think about it, according to what some people think of God's glory, this doesn't even make sense. The whole thing doesn't make sense. Here's Moses pleading with God, go with us. If your presence not go with us, I'm not going. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he says, show me your glory. And you know, we got to understand that this whole thing is all speaking of the same thing. Although we see it differently. Moses brings up the argument in verse 16 that if God's presence doesn't go with them, how is it that the other people will know that the Israelites have found grace in God's sight? This scripture teaches us that grace is the presence of the Lord. If your presence not go with us, how are they going to know? Grace is the presence of the Lord. But then Moses immediately says, Lord, I beg you, show me your glory. So why do you suppose he suddenly asks to see God's glory? Because to Moses, God's glory was God's grace. Show me your grace. Show me your glory. And God replies saying, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. You know, today, even as Christians, we are still on the inside, without even maybe being cognizant of it, we want something greater. We want to have a life of glory. We want to experience glory in our lives. You know, a tangible sense of God is real. And call it glory, call it the presence of God. I mean, I don't know, but I do know that we want to step into something that's alive, that gives us that edge, so to speak. And you know, and very seldom do we actually experience that presence strongly in our lives. And I believe that God created us to live in that presence, because in that presence is when we're truly alive. There's just something about it. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. It wouldn't matter of anything in the natural. When we dwell in that presence, it's like it just lifts us to a whole new level of life. And I want to talk a little bit about the glory this morning. Even today, like I say, there's something on the inside of us. We just love the glory. We want the glory. And we, in our minds, if we've ever experienced the glory, as we grow in the Lord and as we walk with the Lord, these are times we don't forget. Are they? They're times that are very precious to us, and we remember these times. We want to experience his manifest presence. We want to be enraptured and caught up in this glory. Because in our everyday lives, it's just really humdrum. How many of us know that? It's very humdrum. But the truth is that His glory or His presence is really in you. It really is. It doesn't come down from heaven somewhere and descend upon you when God decides that He wants to release His glory. The glory is really a part of your inheritance. If you are a child of God, this glory is yours. I want us to turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 to 27. And I want to explain a little bit more of what the glory really is. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 to 27. The Apostle Paul here is writing to the church at Colossae. And he says in verse 25, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill God's word. Even the mystery," verse 26, "even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to His saints." What is this mystery? Have you ever asked yourself, what is the mystery? It's been manifested to me. And if I were to ask most Christians what the mystery was, they wouldn't have a clue. But this mystery is very important. I mean, even in the natural, when there's a mystery, we want to solve it, right? When something is mysterious to us, we want to look into it and we want to solve this mystery. So this mystery has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest or is revealed to His saints, to whom God would make known. Who's the whom? His saints. Who's the saints? You and me. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, it tells us what the mystery is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember last week we talked about hope? It means the expectation, confident expectation of what? Glory. Is Christ in us here today? Yes. Then His glory is in you. The very thing that we yearn for is in us, and we can walk in it. We can live in it as much as we want. So God has shown us His glory in His Son, Jesus Christ. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. Gospel of John 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh." That's verse 1. First of all, Jesus and His Word are one. And in chapter 1 of John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's saying God and His Word are one. And this Word, we're told in verse 14, "And this Word became flesh. It dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." The glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now that scripture is very key to what I want to teach on today. We beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the glory of God. Jesus is the grace of God, and He is the truth of God. Now, under the law of first mention in the Bible, the word glory is used actually three times, but not in reference to God's glory. And we're talking about God's glory, but the first time the glory of God is used, or the word glory is used in reference to God, it's found in the book of Exodus. Again, if you're still there, turn back to chapter 16. Now, we know that any time something is introduced for the first time in the Bible, study it, because you're going to learn a lot about it, about what it actually means, because everything in the Old Covenant is a shadow and a type of the New. So the first time it gives reference to God's glory in the Old Covenant, it's found in chapter 16. And if we study this, we can really see how consistent God's Word really is. We just read in John chapter 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld as it was, the only begotten of the Father. we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let's go to Exodus 16 and see in what context this word glory is used. Now in Exodus chapter 16, the children of Israel have just departed out of the land of Egypt, and they have come into the wilderness of Sin. And the whole congregation of Israel are tired and hungry. And what happened? They began to complain. So, you know, if you don't want to be a complainer, make sure you never are tired and make sure that you're well fed. The worst time, you are in the worst frame of mind when you are tired and hungry. So what happened? They began to complain. But, you know, it's teaching us here something. Even in the spirit, if you're hungry, if you're tired in the spirit, what does it mean to be tired in the spirit? It means you're just working so hard, trying to be pleasing, trying to earn the blessings. That means, and you're usually hungry. Hunger goes along with it. Why? Because you haven't been nourished by the truth. And so you're still trying by your own efforts to get and obtain God's blessings. And guess what? It usually leads to murmuring and complaining, because nothing works. It's easy to complain when you're in that state. Anyways, they complained to Moses and Aaron, saying, "It would have been better if we had just died at the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt than to die of hunger in the wilderness, because at least if we were back in the land of Egypt, we'd have been fed when we died," because they ate well. That was one thing they did do. They ate well in the land of Egypt. And so they're upset. Like, why did you drag us out here to starve us in the wilderness? And Moses, of course, besought the Lord about it, and like, "Lord, what am I going to do with these people?" And the Lord tells Moses that he would rain bread from heaven for them, and the people would have to go out each day to gather it. So he gives instructions to Moses as what he's going to do. And in verse 7, Moses tells the people what the Lord is going to do. And in the morning, and this is in verse 7 where we see the first mention of the word glory. "And in the morning, then you will see the glory of the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." So tell me, they're going to see the glory. What did they see in the morning? They saw manna. What does manna? In the morning, the dew lay around the host. This is what they saw. "And when the dew that lay was gone up beyond upon the wilderness, there lay a small round thing as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And the people wondered what it was. And Moses says, 'This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat.'" Now we know that manna is a picture of Christ. "I am the bread of life," he said. He is the word. He nourishes. He feeds. Right? So it's symbolic of Christ, who is the word. Moses said, "You will see his glory." So what did they see? What is the glory of God today? Because we know that back then everything was only a shadow, a type of what we have in the new. You're going to see the glory. When we see Jesus Christ, we see God's glory. When we feed off of God's word concerning Christ, the gospel message, the message of grace, we're feeding off of glory. And we don't see it that way. When we speak God's word of grace, we're speaking glory. Glory. If you could see yourself in the spirit, when the word of God is coming forth out of your mouth, glory is coming out of your mouth. That's how it looks in the spirit world. We don't see it, but the glory is being released from your mouth. Now tell me, if the word of God is the glory revealed, it's Jesus Christ who became flesh, who was the word revealed, then tell me, the people, when they went out in the morning, how did they gather the manna? What was their position? They had to stoop very low because it was just tiny on the face. Could you imagine anybody that has back problems? Because it was tiny as a hoarfrost. You know how small that is? And they had to gather enough for a day's supply. So So they were bent over. So what is that a position of? The Bible tells us humility, to humble yourself, is to stoop, to bend down low. So there is so much in this whole thing. You can see it everywhere. To partake of the glory of God, one must humble himself. And to read God's word, to believe God's word, takes humility. Do you know why? Because it doesn't make, his ways are not our ways. It makes no sense. We can't wrap our minds around it. So many times we reject it, thinking, I know better. Man always thinks he knows better. That was the problem. That was the problem back in the Garden of Eden. To submit to God's word and say, you know what? I'm afraid not to believe it. It is the truth. That's humility. So Jesus, who is a picture of the manna that came from heaven, which was the glory of God, is given to us. So God's word concerning Christ, who is the living bread, is to be received with humility. Receive the word which is able to save your souls, the Bible tells us. The word made flesh is the glory of God, who is Jesus, and he was the revelation of the grace of God, or all of God's goodness. That's why going back to Exodus 33, where Moses said, show me your glory, God said, I will cause all my goodness to pass before you. Now, when we think of the glory of God, we think of the bright lights and the, you know. But God's glory is his grace. It's his goodness. That is the glory of God. Remember when the angels came and the shepherds were out in the field? Glory to God. Peace, goodwill toward man. That was God's glory. Goodwill toward mankind. So Jesus is the glory and the grace of God. And the Bible tells us that God gives grace, glory. Another word for glory is grace, to the humble, but he resists the proud. Psalm chapter 138:3 says, in the day that I cried to you, you answered me. This is King David. And strengthen me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth will praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Listen carefully and understand. Yes, they will sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. What is the glory? The words of his mouth, which is Jesus Christ in the flesh. Though the Lord be high, here it goes on to say in verse 6, though the Lord be high, yet has he respect to the lowly, the humble. But the proud he knoweth far off. All the kings will praise thee when they hear the words of your mouth, the living word of God, the gospel of grace. The gospel of Christ is the word of his glory. And when you and I share the gospel, we're sharing God's glory with others. When we speak God's word, remember we said that this mystery, Christ in us, the hope of glory, has been revealed over in the book of Colossians. Remember I said several weeks ago that he who prays in an unknown tongue is speaking mysteries unto God. What are those mysteries? What are those mysteries? Christ. The mystery. Christ in us. His glory. That's what we're speaking forth to God. Christ, who is the glory of God. So when we speak God's word, we're speaking glory. When we pray in the Spirit, we're speaking glory. All of God's glory is given to us in the person of Jesus. And I know God wants you to radiate that glory. He wants me to radiate that glory. Because that glory radiates in all types of ways. Jesus Christ radiated the glory of God. How did he radiate it? In healings, deliverances, in every form of goodness and kindness. The Father wants to demonstrate his goodness. Lord, show me your glory, your goodness. He wants to demonstrate his glory, his goodness through you. Ephesians chapter 1 says that he wants to demonstrate and show forth his goodness and kindness in you, through you, by you, because of Jesus Christ. So that glory is there for you to use personally and to give it away. So God wants all of us to radiate this glory of his life, his goodness, his kindness, his healing, his prosperity, even as Jesus did. And if Jesus is in you, that glory is in you. Now in the Old Covenant, when Moses went up the mount to receive the law, and he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, he came down from the mount. What did the people see? His face shone. Well, he was like a lit up light bulb with the radiance and the glory of God. He just spent 40 days in the presence of God. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, if you want to turn there, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, that if the ministration or the ministry of death written and engraved on stone, what is that? The law. Moses received the law when he went up to converse with God. And if that was glorious to the point so that the children of Israel could not even behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away or to be done away with, verse 10, even that which was made glorious has no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excels. What is that glory? For if that which was done away was glorious, if the glory of the word of God given to Moses, which was the old covenant, the law, was glorious, it tells us much, much more that which remains is glorious, which is what? The gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's the true glory of God. Now let's drop down to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 5, pardon me. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. Verse 6, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to wrap this up soon, but I want us to listen carefully to these scriptures because it's all going to come together at the end. I'm going to read that again. God commanded light to shine out of the darkness, and he has shined in our hearts to do what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's telling us the more that we look at Jesus, the more knowledge we have of God's glory. The more we see the glory and the goodness and the grace of God. And in chapter 3, verse 18, it says that as we behold this glory, which is found where? In the face of Jesus Christ. We all with open face. What does it mean with open face? Well, in the Old Covenant, when the law is read, the Bible says there's a veil over our eyes. We cannot see to the end. We cannot see Christ. But when the veil is taken away, then we see Christ. It says we with open face. In other words, don't look at Christ through the law, but through the new covenant. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, which is the grace, the love of our Lord that we see when we behold him, we are transformed or changed into the image of what we're beholding from glory to glory to glory. How? By his Spirit. Now, I don't understand how that works, how we are transformed. We will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. What are we renewing our minds with? Christ, the Word of God, the truth. This glory, God wants us to radiate it. He wants it to come forth from us. Remember Isaiah 60, arise, shine. For the light has come. The light has already shone. If you have Christ, it's shone in your hearts to reveal the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's already come. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Let the light shine. John chapter 17. Let's turn there this morning. John chapter 17. So what is it? What is this mystery? What is the mystery of Christ, the hope of our glory? What is this mystery? I want to get right to the meat. I want to just share exactly what it is that we see, which is the glory that we're looking at. John chapter 17. Now we know that John chapter 17 is the last prayer that Jesus prayed before he went to the cross. It was the last words that he spoke to his Father concerning you and I. He was not praying for himself. He was praying for us. And that prayer, I want us to look at verse 22. He asks the Father that we might be one on the earth as he is one with the Father. Then in verse 22, he says this, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." So what is he talking about there? The glory you have given me, I have given them. What is this glory? Let's keep reading. He explains it. "I and them, you and me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and you have, number one, loved them as you loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they might behold my glory, which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. And I have declared unto them your name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. And I have declared unto them your name." What is the name that Jesus came to declare unto us? That we must see, because that is the glory. What is the name that Jesus came to declare unto us? Well, in the Old Covenant, they only saw God as judge, as ruler, as God. Jesus came to declare his name. And that's why the Holy Spirit is in our hearts crying what? Abba, Father. The word Abba actually means daddy. And as we behold Jesus, we see the only unique begotten Son of God, full of glory. That was the scripture we looked at first. You see, all these things have a meaning. You can't just, oh, I'll just look at this one. But it is the fact that Jesus Christ is God's beloved Son. And what he came, what we see when we look, and what is the glory is sonship. I am a child of God. And that is the glory. What? 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1:17. Let's go there. 2 Peter 1:17. First Peter. "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Christ, who we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received," I'm going to say it again, "for Jesus Christ received from God the Father honor and glory." How did Jesus receive the glory? "When there came a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" That is the glory of God that we see in the face of Jesus Christ. Sonship. This is. He received the glory. You want to receive God's glory? You want to excel in it? You want to live in it? Experience it? Radiate it? Receive your sonship. "You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice came from heaven, and we heard it, it says in verse 18, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Remember the transfiguration? When Jesus went up and was his glory, he was transfigured. We heard the voice. He had received the glory. But you and I also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. What is it telling us? Take heed to God's word. Because that's where we're going to see the glory. That's where we're going to see that we too are sons and daughters. He was the firstborn, yes. And in him all things consist. He's the head, we're the body. But we share in his glory. That's why Jesus said, I have given them the glory that you've given me. Sonship. Jesus has given that to us as a gift. Because he paid the price for us to be reconciled back into God, for us to be adopted back into the family. Now, you might be sitting here and think, big deal. But oh my goodness, if you only knew the half of it, you would say, it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. But we've been so dull. Our minds are dull. We can't really understand, but our hearts can. And our hearts, and that's where we're crying out for that glory. Our hearts want to know and be satisfied with the fact that we are children of the Most High God. And in that, we can rest, knowing that no matter what, he's looking after me. Not any less than you would look after your child and do whatever you had and could do in your ability to be good to that child and make sure that child was looked after. So the spirit of sonship in us is the glory of God. And they won't know you because they don't know God. You know, the world isn't going to know you, who you are. But they will see the glory manifested. Just like when Jesus walked along in the earth. They didn't really know he was the Son of God, but they saw the glory that went with him. They saw him casting out devils and raising people from the dead. That's all part of the glory. And that's what the world sees. We need to stand up. We're in a very dark time. We need to know who we are. And let our glory shine. Let the glory shine that's within us. Remember, every time you open up your mouth and speak life, words of life, the word. I mean, just think about it in your home. You want your home to be glorified and filled with the glory of God? Just start speaking forth the word of God. Because the word is spirit and it is life. We may not understand it. We think it's ridiculous. But the word is powerful. It is God's glory released. I mean, Jesus bodily is not here anymore, but we have his word. And you want to have peace in your home? You want to have whatever? Begin to speak the word. Let it come forth. Because the glory is in you. The glory is not out there somewhere. God's not going to come through the front door like he did in the old covenant, and the temple was filled with the smoke and the glory of God, and it was so awesome that people wouldn't even go near it. It frightened them. Well, that's in you. Release it. Release it through your mouth. Speak the glory. And I guarantee you, you will begin to sense the glory, the presence of God. It'll become weighty, because that's what glory means. If you look up the word glory, it means to be heavy. To be weighty. Now, to give somebody glory or honor, that means to give them recognition. For example, if we were to walk into a room where the president of whatever was speaking, I mean, some famous person, we give him glory. That means we give him weight. We give him, you know, we pay attention. He has something to say. And so that when we glorify God, it's like giving his word weight. It's like, wow, I need to pay attention to what God is saying. It's heavy. It's weighty. It's important. Some substance. And when we, the flip side of that is to esteem somebody lightly and not pay any attention. Oh, that person's always talking. He has nothing to say. It's not worth the listening. That's exactly the opposite. That's not giving glory to that person. That's putting that person down. That's defaming him. Let's not defame God. Let's give him the glory. Let's pay attention to what he's saying. Because his words are weighty. They are life and health to all of our flesh. 1 John chapter 3. Let's close in this one. 1 John chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's what we see when we behold Christ. That's what transforms us into his image. Behold, what manner of love that Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and the daughters of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it knows not him. Beloved now, not tomorrow, not when we die and go to heaven, but right now we are sons and daughters of God. And it yet does not yet appear what we will be. But we know that when he will appear, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. To see the glory of God is to see Jesus Christ as he really is. How is Jesus really? He is the Son, the only unique Son of God. Sonship. And when we see Jesus as he is, the Bible says, we will be transformed into his image. And that's why as we look into the word, it says that we are changed, renewed, transformed from glory to glory to glory. And so there is no other way. The glory only comes via one way, and that's through Christ. That's through continuing to look into the word, see his glory, and just see, know that as he is, so are you. And you will begin to have that, the Holy Spirit, that voice on the inside of you, the witness that bears witness with your heart that you truly are the Son of God, and it'll cry, Abba, Father, even louder and louder and louder. And you will know, I am a child of God, and he is my dad. And the more you know that, the more the glory is going to shine in and through your life. It's all, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's that sonship. Does a father love his child? Absolutely. I don't think anybody loves a child more than its parent, other than God. And so that is where we need to pay attention. Two, that is where we need to put our focus on at this hour, because it's love, it's his love for us that is going to conquer the darkness in the world. It's going to shine through us. God wants us to shine with his love, with his grace, with his goodness. And in the old covenant, he couldn't show Moses his goodness. He said, I will make it all pass before you, but I'm going to put you in a rock. Now we know that that rock represents Jesus Christ. And I'm going to cover you, and you will see only my backside. But now we see his front side in the face of Jesus Christ. What could not be revealed to Moses has now been revealed to us through Christ. Not only is it revealed, but it is ours. It lives in us. And we need to let it shine. Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And I said that once before, because it's on the inside of you, it must arise up and come upon you. It comes out of your heart and rests on your life. And when the Bible says that he's crowned us with favor, glory, and honor, that is the glory. He's crowned us. That means that he surrounded us with this presence of glory and honor. Walk in it. Live in it. Enjoy life as you soak it up. You're never alone. His presence is always there. It's up to you to manifest, to reveal it in your own life. God's not going to rain it down from heaven when he's in the mood. No, he's always ready to manifest. And I always say that the presence of God or the glory of God is like when you have come into his, when you all of a sudden your mind is in sync with his, and it's like he's giving you a big hug. And you can sense it in the natural. Nothing is more assuring, gives us more peace, and makes us want to allow that and just to love somebody else with that same love. But you have to receive it first. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer.